today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Join Gloria Copeland and her special guest Billy Brim as they begin this week's teaching, Operating in the Power of the Holy Spirit. Learn how being led by the Spirit allows you to walk in victory.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Our good friend Billy Brim's with us from Prayer Mountain in the Ozark, and we're talking about some exciting things.
We're talking about the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. And Gloria, I do want to welcome the people. I travel a lot, and everywhere I go, people tell me how they join us.
Good.
And so we want to welcome them for joining us.
Welcome.
And a lot of them send me emails and letters. And so I wanted to read just a couple of those.
Okay.
Maybe we read a couple every day. But this one comes from Germany, from Patsy. Dear Billy, I've been watching you for the last few weeks on the archives. We archive our noontime prayer. Since I live in Germany, the time difference puts me at a time when we have our Wednesday evening Bible study at my local church. I learned of the prayer Awakening Through BVOV. We have a live streaming prayer every Wednesday, noontime central, from Prayer Mountain. And so many people join us because they heard about it on the Believer's Voice of Victory. I can't tell you how much I look forward to when you and Gloria get together. It's such a blessing. I have a dear friend and prayer partner here in Germany, and we've often talked about the lack of women mentors here in Germany. Women that are seasoned not only in age, but more importantly with the wisdom, love, and true spirit of God. We both have concluded that you and Gloria are it for us.
Well, what an honor.
What an honor.
Privilege.
You know, we talk about our mentors.
I'm glad you're older.
That's right. But we've had mentors, and I guess since we announced last week that we're part of the old timers, that we can be mentors.
We qualify now.
We qualify.
After you get so old, you get respectable.
That's right. Bless the Lord. You know, Gloria, I can think of things that I was highly, that meeting that we had, you know, Secrets of Intercession, highly criticized, bringing out all those old time prayers. People rocked and reeled when they saw them up there. But now they accept things like that, so just wait long enough.
That's right, you get respect.
And Patsy says, I will continue to tune in through the archives and definitely look forward to more times with you and Gloria. She's a beautiful
woman
of God.
Oh.
As you are, Billy. By the way, I love that your hair is a little longer.
See, Billy?
See? And look what I can do now. I can put it up. Bless the Lord. And this is from
It hardly looks like a wig at all.
It is not a wig. Rascal.
No, I'm kidding. It's not a wig.
Oh, bless the Lord. That reminds me of a story of Vestal Goodman. Vestal was, the best gospel singer ever there was. And Vestal, you know, her hair when she sang was up to here. Well, somebody saw her at the grocery store, and she had short hair. And they said, Vestal, we thought we could count on you never to cut your hair. She said, I didn't cut a strand of it. It's still at home on the shelf just as long as it was last week. It was a wig she was wearing all the time.
No, I'm teasing. Billy's
teasing.
Not got a wig on.
Bless the Lord. But if you saw my daughter, Shelly, she's probably got one on. She can have her hair long one day and short the next. This is from Victoria Ogunali. I'm probably not saying that well. Calvary, blessings in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Your ministry has been a great blessing to me. I listen to you and Gloria every morning. You have caused a great revival in my life.
God, what an honor.
May God continue to use you and Sister Gloria for His glory. My greatest desire is to serve the Lord in my nation, Nigeria. Gloria's books have been such a blessing to me. I now share the truth I learned in her books with other women. And great testimony has been birthed from this.
What an honor.
Please keep up the good works.
Praise God.
Not a blessing.
Oh, yes.
So you're working on those little books, and it's going over there to Nigeria and blessing
Glory
the people.
Glory to God.
We could go to Africa and sit right here. Bless the Lord. And now
all
here we
can
go to Singapore. This is from Jeremy Lessler. I live in Singapore and attend New Creation Church under the ministry of Joseph Prince.
What a great church that
to which is. You came and taught us concerning walking in love and the power of the blood some years ago. And then he talks a little about that, and he says, Sister Billy, on two occasions, I was in the middle of doing something at the computer, and the Lord dropped your name into my mind, Billy Brim, out of the blue. And ta-da, there you'd be on BVOV with Sister Gloria.
Billy, the Lord is advertising
yes,
for you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you? The first time it happened, I was stunned. But then it happened again. I was so glad that the Lord took time to let me know you were on BVOV.
I'm glad to know the Lord was watching.
I'm glad to know he approves.
Yes.
I'm telling you right now, if he approves the program and asks people to come in, we're okay.
Isn't that something?
Isn't that something?
Being led by the Spirit.
Being led by the Spirit. Now, that's what we're going to talk about later on. He was led by the Spirit. I cannot explain the reason for being drawn on these occasions. It's kind of like dunamis happens when you and Sister Gloria are together.
Praise God.
You know what I mean? The two of you could very well be destined to be a dynamic duo with a unique kingdom message to fulfill. I've seen male leaders, one woman leaders, husband and wife leader shows, but I've never seen two women leaders. Have you?
We're the dynamic,
dynamic duo. We'll take that. And then it says, shalom to you and your family. Thank you,
That's
Jeremy.
That's sweet.
Isn't that sweet?
Letter. Yes. Amen.
And thank you for watching. I'll read one more and then I'll read one tomorrow. When you appeared, this is Bobby Johnson from Falkville, Alabama. When you appeared with Gloria on BVOV to talk about praying for a great awakening, I really accepted what you were saying. And I was able to convince my pastor to change our time of intercession to noon on Wednesdays. Wow. Bless the Lord. We're just here in this little town in North Alabama, but we're joining with you and I feel we're making a difference.
Praise God.
I followed your ministry and I've been a partner of the Copeland since 1978.
Bless her heart. We appreciate that.
Yeah,
thank you
appreciate
so
it,
much.
Bobby. Thank you so much.
Isn't that
bless
a blessing?
The Lord. Isn't that a blessing?
Yes, it is.
And so it just kind of makes us all feel together.
Amen.
You know, that's how it is on those Wednesday prayers. People say, we feel not alone. We feel power. And that's what we're talking about. The church is supposed to be operating in power.
That's right.
And what the Holy Ghost can do right now is this broadcast. And with all these people around here, I mean, there are people in this studio. There's people out in the truck. There's people in the sound place. And all of them together, God's using and anointing with our abilities and causing us to bring together the body of Christ.
Amen.
Oh, I love the body of Christ.
Praise God.
Actually, everywhere it says church in the New Testament, it's really the word ekklesia. I used to say ecclesia till someone corrected me. But I think I'm getting it right now. I'm not sure. But it means an assembly. And Worrell, A.S. Worrell, did a translation of the Bible in which he always used the word assembly. And that's why the Assemblies of God, they saw that. And that's why they call it the Assembly of mm-hmm. God. Mm-hmm. And what it is, the assembly is, Rick Renner told me that it's a Greek word. It meant out of all these cities, city-states, they would choose someone. And that someone, ek, out of, would, let's say, would come together, those representatives would come together and they make up a body, a governing body. Now, that is the picture of the church. To me, the best picture of the church is the body of Christ. He is the head.
Yes.
We are the body. All the leadership comes from the head, but the head has to have a body. Your head can think up wonderful ideas, but your feet can't take you where you need to go. You can't go there unless your feet take you. And your hands work. So God's hands and His feet are in His body. Amen. Bless the Lord. And we're in the earth. And this body of Christ has to be body of Christ. Christ, the Mashiach, the Messiah. It means literally in Hebrew, the Anointed One. And then Brother Copeland, when he was studying the anointing and preaching so long and well on it, mm-hmm. teaching, he said that the Lord said to him, translate and meditate. Whenever you see Christ, you translate the Anointed One and His anointing. Because the Anointed One was anointed with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the anointing. He was the anointing in the Old Testament to do anything that the three that were anointed were the prophet, the priest, and the king. And people who were called to do a special task like Gideon or Samson or Esther. But like the prophets, they were all anointed. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Huldah, Deborah. They were all anointed, and they had the same anointing. The anointing was the Holy Ghost to do. So then, and we read this, there came an entry into the Word of God. The Word of God is progressive revelation. So there came a revelation in, and it came through Hannah. We talked about it last week if they want to go on the archives. The word, the anointed one, was first mentioned in Hannah's mouth. And Hannah was praying for a child, and she received the child Samuel. And then when she received this child, she brought him, after he was weaned, to Shiloh, or Shiloh, to Eli, the high priest. And she dedicated him to God. And then we have the second chapter of 1 Samuel. And in the second chapter of 1 Samuel, it's one of the most beautiful, beautiful prophetic chapters. The Jews all say this about this chapter in the Bible. She was rejoicing over this child. And she said in verse 5, 1 Samuel 2, 5, the barren hath borne seven. Well, we go on down and see how many children she had. Verse 21, the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters, that's five, and the child Samuel, that's six. But she said she bore seven. So she bore them, and seven. So who is the seventh one she bore? You go to verse 10. She prophesies the Lord's ultimate victory in the earth. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. So it's looking to the future. It's looking to a coming king, and it's looking to, actually this says in the Hebrew, his Mashiach, the anointed one. So we begin to see, and this is the first time we ever see the introduction of the word the anointed one. We see the King Messiah prophesied right here, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. All the prophets talked about him. Peter said that when he was preaching in the book of Acts. But we're going to just pick up one prophet who spoke about him, which is Isaiah. Of course, David did in the Psalms. They all did. But the anointed one, we're going to pick up this one in Isaiah chapter 42. Father God is bringing forth the prophetic word through the prophet Isaiah. And he says, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the nations. And it goes on to talk about him. It says he will be a covenant to the people of Israel, and he will be a light to the nations. So this is the anointed one. But I wanted to read only verse 1 to bring out, I put my spirit upon him. That's why he could be called the anointed one, because God says, I have put my spirit upon him. God prophesies that he's going to put his Holy Spirit upon the Messiah. Hallelujah. Now in Isaiah 61, the same prophet, and the Lord is speaking to him again. He says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. These are words later that the Messiah himself will speak. But right now it's God the Father speaking them through Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me. The Spirit's only on you if you've been anointed. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. And so we read just these two prophetic words out of the Old Testament concerning the Anointed One and His anointing. Now, He comes forth in the earth, the Anointed One. He is born in a manger, and he comes, and he's told to name him Yeshua, which means salvation, for he will save his people from their sins. And we see him as a little baby, he that walked up and down the Ancient of Days. He walked up and down through the eternities. He humbled himself. Philippians chapter 2 says he humbled himself. He laid aside his glory and he became like a man. He had to do it for you and me because he came to redeem us back to the Father. So he had to live in a man's body, and he humbled himself and he entered into the womb of a woman, came in the form of a little baby. He who spoke could no longer speak. He didn't come forth talking, he had to learn to talk. He didn't come forth walking, he had to learn to walk. As a little baby, he had to learn everything you and I did. And then we see him, oh, he was a fast learner, and God the Father taught him. And when he was 12 years old, he's down at the temple in Jerusalem, amazing the doctors and the teachers, because he's a perfect human. But he is not yet anointed with the Holy Ghost to do the miracles, the miraculous things of God. And that comes with his baptism. In John, we see, John chapter 1, we see him going down to the Jordan River to be baptized of his cousin, really, John the Baptist, the prophet. John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming to him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come to baptize with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he abode upon him. I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, Upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost or with the Holy Spirit. And in Luke chapter 3, and I think we'll turn there. Let's turn to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, we're going to pick it up right here with John the Baptist again, and with Jesus coming to him. And in verse 16, Jesus answered saying, John answered saying, Luke 3:16, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Verse 21, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Chapter 4, verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Immediately then, the Holy Ghost takes up his business of leading Jesus. When Jesus talked about him to us, he said, He will lead you. He will guide you. He's the guiding Spirit, and Jesus submitted to him. He went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He was tempted there for 40 days, and he answered and turned away the enemy with, It is written. Then, verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee.
Praise
that word is dunamis. So he didn't have any of this operating up on him until he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, till he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He came to Nazareth, verse 16, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. He found Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised.
Hallelujah.
To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book, gave it to the minister. The eyes of everyone were on him. And he said in verse 21, this, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now he told Brother Hagin in an open-eyed vision, Jesus did. He said, I think it's why it says he began to say. He said, every synagogue, it tells you right in this chapter and others that he went into every synagogue in the Galilee. And he said, I began every one of them with the same thing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me. He declared that he was anointed. And then he operated as the anointed one. They didn't receive him in Nazareth, and he went on down to Capernaum. But John gives us what then happened after that. Bless the Lord. John chapter 2 and verse 1. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And you know, he turned the water into wine. And then in John chapter 2, verse 11, it says concerning that, his turning the water into wine at that wedding, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. That was his first miracle. You can read those little books people claim to have found in the deserts of Egypt or wherever, and they're mostly not anything right in them. People have given some of them to me that they thought was right, and I said, that can't be right because such and such, such and such. So, but anyway, some of them say that, you know, when he was a little boy, he raised birds to life and they flew away, and he changed stones to birds. He did not. The Word of God is truth. And it says in John chapter 2 of 11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. That's, he didn't start doing miracles until
That's right.
The power working spirit was upon him.
Praise the Lord. Billy and I'll be right back.
Come to these exciting meetings. The 2010 Word Explosion Update in Columbia, South Carolina is the 14th through 16th of October at the Columbia Metropolitan Convention Center. Be sure to come to the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign November 11th through 13th with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. The Branson Victory Campaign, the 3rd through 5th of March at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. For more information, go to kcm.org. Health, peace, and prosperity are promised to every believer. Yet finding your path to your purpose can be a mysterious journey of trial and error. By following the leading of the Holy Spirit and praying through life's challenges, you can get the right answers every time. But how do you hear from the Holy Spirit to follow Him? What is the process of praying through a challenge? And what does speaking in tongues have to do with all this anyway? The Gifts of the Spirit package provides answers with these dynamic resources. Gifts of the Spirit, a classic series of six CDs by Kenneth Copeland that unlocks the mysteries surrounding these gifts. The books, How You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God, the Legacy Edition, and Tongues Beyond the Upper Room, both written by Kenneth Hagin, combined with a tribute to spiritual excellence. The Life and Ministry of Reverend and Mrs. J.R. Goodwin, the story of the revolutionary ministry that operated in the gift of tongues. The Gifts of the Spirit package equips you to tap into the power to make your vision a reality. Order the Gifts of the Spirit package today at a special 40% savings, just $42 for all four products. The CD teaching series by Kenneth Copeland, the story of J.R. Goodwin, and two books by Kenneth E. Hagin. For an additional product discount and 48-hour processing, order your Gifts of the Spirit package online at kcm.org or by calling 800-600-7395. For these and other ministry resources from Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit us at kcm.org.
Billy, tell us about the Gifts of the Spirit package.
All right, this is a special one for right now when we need to be operating
in
the power
of
God. And Brother Kenneth Copeland has this one, which goes into the 9 gifts of the Spirit. We'll be talking more about those this week individually.
And on the back, those are divided into 3 groups, revelation, utterance, and power. And Brother Copeland examines these 3 groups and how each operates. He teaches how the believer can prepare himself to be used of God in the gifts of the Spirit.
So
that's
important.
Something you really can listen
right.
to. And then, I'm so glad of this book right here. I think I learned most from this book of anything when Brother Hagin came in and Jesus told him in an open-eyed vision, the most important thing you can teach my children in the last days is how to be led
That's
by the
right,
Spirit of
too.
God. So I got to edit this book. And if you see this little dove on here, we were operating on a shoestring budget. We rented the dove. We hung up a blue sheet in the background. We released the dove and we snapped the picture. Larry Huggins and
You're
I, the
kidding.
Whole crew.
You yep. did a great job.
Bless the Lord. And then this is Tongues Beyond the Upper Room by Kenneth E. Hagin. It begins with the very seminar, though it's a new book. It begins with the seminar that you and I came to back in 1967 when I received the Holy Ghost. And then they've added a whole lot
Praise
to it.
God.
Subtitle, Everything You Want to Know About Speaking in Tongues.
Praise
you need
God.
This book. Hallelujah.
We were fresh.
We were fresh
brand
and
new.
Bless the Lord. Now, here's a tribute to spiritual excellence. We're going to be showing some videos of these people later on in the week. Mr. and Mrs. J.R. Goodwin.
I remember
About
them.
Whom people said that the
one.
Operation of the gifts of the Spirit in their church was the most prolific with the best order of any other church.
Praise
so
God.
We have that
That's
for
great.
You. It's a wonderful package. You should
yes,
order more than one.
You know, if you want a change, you've got to make a change. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to get into the Word of God. And this would be an excellent
You could be named
the
Power
start,
Package.
Hallelujah. Ken, speaking at the Word Explosion, starting October the 14th through the 16th in Columbia, South Carolina, put together for the military, but everybody's invited. We want you to come. Hallelujah. It's a great meeting. Lives are changed, so come to it. For more information, go to kcm.org. We'll see you again tomorrow. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Visit us at kcm.org. There you can purchase this broadcast and other KCM products. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has a resource of study tools designed to give you hope and help you find the answers you're looking for. You can also call our prayer line, 800-600-7395, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Have faith in God, awaken your heart to Him, and live in the blessing every day. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
That's how we know that the power was not just for Jesus, but the power is for His body, the body of Christ.
That's right.